Eli retiring. Can you give us a sense here? The debate, Rick, is, of course, is he a Hall of Famer? Is he not a Hall of Famer? I'm firmly in the camp of yes, he is. He was a big moments guy. Some stats people will want to tell you why he's not, but it's hard to argue with the moments that Eli had. What does he mean to the city of New York?
I think he means, and we got a chance to see this a couple of years ago when Ben McAdoo and the organization made the decision to call whatever you wanted, him benching himself, them benching him, but disrupting the 210 consecutive games with Geno Smith, which for Giants fans was an outrage. And we got phone call after phone call, and then you saw them kind of pivot. They went back to Eli, tried to win around Eli, and then, I mean, he gets benched 2 weeks into last football season, finds his way back, plays two games, and not the perfect ending, but to get his record back to 500, to go out on his own terms, I think it's what everyone wanted. I don't think you could imagine seeing him play for a different team, especially, I mean, he talked about it after the season. He was no interest in being a backup. He is, and it's fitting that Derek Jeter gets elected into the Hall of Fame, and Eli follows it up with his retirement, because they're as similar as it gets. Eli, not as much success, or, you know, never really considered the greatest at his position. I mean, a lot of people make the argument that, you know, Derek Jeter's a top five shortstop of all time, which I probably agree with, but you won't find two bigger class acts in sports.
Do you think that there's a possibility that Eli's retiring now because he wasn't sure about where the quarterback landscape was going, but maybe a team that suffers some injuries early in the season brings him back? Or do you think once he says, listen, I'm done, I'm retiring, that's it, that's all she wrote?
No, I think once he's done, he's done. I think he's achieved everything he was hoping to achieve here. I think he has, I know he has an unbelievable relationship with John Mara and ownership. And I don't think he can envision himself playing anywhere else, to be honest. And I don't think there's a clear-cut path to him playing anywhere else, especially when you start looking at free agency this upcoming season with, you know, we don't have any idea where Tom Brady's going to end up. A lot of people are mentioning the Los Angeles Chargers. You got Phillip Rivers. What's going on with Cam Newton? Andy Dalton. So, I mean, you go up and down the list. And the one thing you do notice now, too, especially in today's NFL, the strictly pocket passer that stands in the pocket and doesn't have much mobility isn't having as much success as they used to have.
Rick DiPietro, former Islanders goaltender, our guest, now one of the hosts of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN New York.
You mentioned Derek Jeter into the Hall. Who do you think the one guy was that didn't vote for him to go in this year?
I have no idea. I know everyone wants to know. Here's the one thing I will say, and this was, I mean, we went back and forth with this. I don't think how you look at your ballot, you have 10 votes. I don't know how you look at that ballot, especially with what was presented on the ballot with, Bonds, Clemens, the PEDs, and everything else, and not vote for Derek Jeter. And that's kind of the one thing I don't like about the Hall of Fame voting for Major League Baseball. It's kind of left up to your own interpretation of how you want to use your votes. I mean, there have been plenty of times. I mean, the fact that Ken Griffey Jr. is not unanimous. I mean, there's plenty of guys that aren't unanimous. I can imagine sitting there, whoever this guy is or gal is, and saying, well, Derek Jeter is definitely going to get in, so I don't want to use one of my 10 votes. I'd rather use my vote to keep, whoever it is on the ballot above the 5%, which is not how the process is supposed to work. Or, and this is what I think his mindset was, because he or she had to have voted for Mariano Rivera for him to be, 100%, is Mario Rivera was so good at what he did, and he was so head and shoulders above everybody else that played his position. He's the only one, in my opinion, I feel should be 100%, and I don't want to vote for Derek Jeter because he's a Hall of Famer, but he didn't play at that same level that Mariano Rivera did.
I don't know why we're so obsessed with this unanimous voting anyway. It hadn't happened in so long, and you mentioned Rivera, and he's the first guy to ever do it, so why would we think that it would happen in consecutive years? It doesn't make sense to me, especially considering it's not as though the bust that's going to go into the Hall is like Hangman, and for every vote he gets a feature, and his bust is going in without an ear because he didn't get a unanimous vote. Like, why are we so obsessed with perfection just because it happened one time?
Well, because I think a lot of people felt the fact that it did happen now would open the door for it to happen again. And of all the people, I mean, and Derek Jeter just so happens to be right around the corner. I don't think anyone can. I don't know how you make the. I think that's why everyone is so interested to find out who did it,
right?
Who didn't vote for him, because I don't know how you look at Derek Jeter's body of work, especially in New York City, how he handled himself and not vote for him. But I think the Pandora's box that's been opened now is we start, and this isn't fair because there are plenty of guys that deserve to be 100% but never were. Now it's your level of greatness by how many votes you got, which is not how the vote was intended to be used at all.
With Rick DiPietro, I think to follow up on Ashley's question too, Rick, is it may just be that there's someone out there who wields the hammer and says, well, if I don't vote for Derek Jeter, then he can never say he got in unanimously. And that may matter to someone's petty insecurities. I guess I'm not after your opinion on the Carlos Beltran in and then out as Mets manager situation. And of course, Beltran got caught up in the sign-stealing scandal of the 2017 Houston Astros, the final team for which he played. I'm more interested, Rick, in how this is handled in New York and in the New York media vis-a-vis the Yankees, Mets, and how those two teams are juxtaposed. Like, are the Mets treated with respect? Are they a mockery? I know they've got their diehards, but how is the city kind of handling yet the latest Mets fiasco?
Well, I think, I mean, at this point, you go back to when they made the decision to hire Brody Van Wagenen, who at the time was, I mean, Brody Van Wagenen was the same guy the previous year that said, I mean, he represented Jacob deGrom, either pay him or trade him. And then you had the interview process, and it's Brody Van Wagenen or Chaim Bloom, who the Red Sox just hired. Chaim Bloom having all that success down in Tampa. I mean, the Mets are a big market team, but we don't spend like a big market team. So you'd imagine, wow, this guy's had a ton of success down in Tampa where they only spend, you know, $65 million a year. Why don't we bring him in? And now he can deal with the, you know, financial handcuffs that we put on him, and we'll have some success. But no, they went with the agent, and now we got all sorts of different things happening because now DeGrom's on the team, and he negotiated the Cespedes deal. So all these, you know, all these conflicts of interest. But that's fine. Not a great offseason. I mean, you go through the moves, all brutal moves for the most part. Edwin Diaz was bad, Familia, up and down the list. And now Carlos Beltran, which is a move I didn't necessarily agree with because this team is trying to win now. I don't know why you would take the chance to, you know, in a season that you have to win with a guy that's never done it before. I mean, he's essentially learning on the job. And then you're given this opportunity by Major League Baseball because there was clearly a reason why Rob Manfred put Carlos Beltran, the only player named in that report, and it was an add-in, players including Carlos Beltran, as if to say, well, we couldn't suspend him at the time because he had immunity, but it's on you now, Mets, to take it into your own hands. They get rid of him. Kind of gives you, like, maybe the perfect opportunity to reassess your decision. Circumstances have changed. Only a couple weeks away from pitchers and catchers. Maybe go hire a Buck Showalter because he's been there and done that. But no, we're going to go with the 38-year-old Luis Rojas, who's been in the system, familiar. Brody can pull the strings, and we'll just continue on this treadmill of mediocrity.
Sounds like you have high hopes. So speaking of conflict of interest, when this whole Astros scandal broke, there were some people that were vocal about the fact that Mike Fiers was a whistleblower and they didn't like the way that he went about it. Pedro Martinez being one, but also Jessica Mendoza being another. And she's involved with the Mets organization as well as broadcasting, and she's a consultant for that organization. What was the kind of fallout in and around New York after her comments were made public, which she did kind of go back and pull back on a little bit, releasing a statement after her appearance on a radio station?
You know, it's the risk you run. I mean, it's the risk Brody Van Wagenen runs by hiring Jessica Mendoza and letting her still be a TV analyst. I don't think she... you heard the apology. She didn't use the right words. I don't think that's what she meant. I don't think she was trying to chastise Mike Fiers for saying it. I think she was kind of trying to give you a... And Ziggy can talk on this as well, kind of that inside the locker room mentality. I mean, the level of trust needed. Maybe that would be something that you would, I mean, if you were offended at the time and you thought it was cheating because you were benefiting from it, then maybe you should have stood up and said something. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it's out there now. Everyone knows about it. I'm not necessarily sure how much. If I was Mike Fiers' teammate right now, I would be willing to divulge as far as, you know, anything I was doing just because of what he did. But mm-hmm. I'm sure Major League Baseball is, and you see the players react to it. I mean, there are plenty of players that were affected by it. That are happy it's out and they're going to try to get this out of the game. But, I mean, you saw, even with Carlos Beltran being the manager, I mean, you had Marcus Stroman, who's one of the pitchers, talking about, you know, how when he pitched in Toronto against the Astros, they couldn't hit him, but then he goes down to Houston and they're, you know, they're spitting on his best stuff. Well, Carlos Beltran was a part of that team, and he was one of the masterminds behind that cheating thing. So if you're that offended, I mean, how do you follow a guy that was responsible for the cheating scandal? I don't think you can.